Andrew Stoltman. He has devoted his entire practice to these types of things. He's a former Merrill Lynch stockbroker who actually went to law school to represent investors who were burned in the stock market. He's a nationally recognized legal expert in securities litigation, going up against Wall Street banks and firms, insurance companies, and registered investment advisors. He's handled over 2,000 cases. He just got off trial this week, and I'm glad that he's on the show to help us understand some of the scams that are going on. Andrew, thank you so much for being with us. How are you?
I'm doing well, Karen. I'm just trying to find a golf course that's open today and tomorrow so I can get out and enjoy this nice weather.
Well, that sounds good. And you finished your trial?
I did. Yes. Yes. Boy, they are mentally exhausting. It was against a firm called Coinbase. And we are just seeing a lot more of these scams involving crypto-related investments. It looks like now about 15% of the population owns some form of crypto-related investments. And as you may be aware, the price of Bitcoin has dropped dramatically in the last couple of months. So we've just been seeing a lot of people, falling for either fake crypto-related investments or having their money at like a crypto platform like Coinbase and just having all of their money taken. And so it's really sad when you kind of deal with these cases because the money is gone unless you can get it back. And sometimes it can, but there are a whole bunch of times where you can't.
So let's talk a little bit about this. Just let's talk from a preventative standpoint. And let's keep it very simple because a lot of people, you know, don't know much about investments. They don't know much about cryptocurrency. They hear that it's a good deal. But tell us what we should be careful of when we're investing in crypto.
Well, you know, Karen, I think it's not just for crypto. It's really all sorts of investments out there. And you know, I tell people that you kind of have to put your common sense hat on. And, anytime you have aggressive sellers, you have to be careful. Anytime you get a random text or a phone call from somebody you don't know, you obviously have to go in with your guard up. Remember the advice your mom gave you? If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
Right.
It's really amazing how many people kind of fall for investment scams where it is too good to be true. The group who regulates brokerage firms did a study recently, and they found that 50% of people who were pitched a imaginary investment that returned 25% a year guaranteed weren't able to determine that that's fraud. So, yes, there are a whole bunch of really, really bad people out there that are trying to scam you. But, you know, investors and the public, they need to be on guard, too. And, if it sounds too good to be true, obviously it is. If someone you don't know reaches out to you, they're probably scamming you. And so people really kind of need to go in with their guard up because the number of scams and the number of people who are defrauding people has really increased exponentially in the 25 years or so that I've been doing this.
So, yes. So we say if you get somebody reaching out to you on a random text or email, maybe that's not the way to do it. But let's just say you're sitting there hearing about all your friends who are making money on certain investments. How would you proactively find a way to invest with a person or a company that is able to explain these things to you, explain the risks, and to keep you safe? How do they do that?
That's a really good question. And I get that question a lot from people because they say, hey, look, how do I find somebody who isn't a scammer or who isn't going to take advantage of me? And kind of the first issue is to deal with someone at a reputable bank or brokerage firm. Now, look, I've sued the big brokerage firms hundreds and hundreds of times, meaning Merrill, Morgan Stanley. But there is something about those big firms, the big banks, the big trust companies like Northern Trust, Morgan Stanley, the banks where if you go with them and something does go wrong, somebody steals your money there, you have a entity that can pay you back, assuming there was a fraudulent investment made. Now, we have some real good friends at the Illinois Securities Department. Also, before you deal with a financial advisor, call them up or jump on their website and pull the background of these guys. And, common sense should tell you, if the financial advisor you're dealing with or the banker you're dealing with has 2, 3, 4 complaints on their record, that's a pretty good sign that you should kind of run for the hills and not deal with that individual.
Andrew, you see this all the time, and you see this on radio stations where someone says, oh, you know, come to a free breakfast and I'll tell you all about how I invest money and make money. And there's no, you know, you're not compelled to do anything except have some coffee and some bacon. What do you think about those advisors? Are they all to be suspected of trying to bring people in wrongfully? Or are there some good people out there who do this kind of thing?
Well, you know, there are some good people that do it, but boy, that is a real red flag for me. And it's just been, you know, my experience that the people and the individuals who are usually doing that free breakfast, free lunch, free dinner, there's nothing free about it. And it's often the most expensive meal that people will ever have, because a lot of times, Karen, they're, you know, the tail is wagging the dog. These people are selling just really expensive or really risky investments to people. And as you might imagine, you know, they really target the elderly because, you know, Willie Sutton once asked, why do you rob banks? And of course, he said, that's where the money is. Well, guess what? In society, it's the elderly people who have all of the money. And I think there are about 75 million baby boomers right now, and they're all kind of between the age of about 62 and 80. So these people just have a massive, massive target on their back. There are people here in the United States and even people outside of the United States. I mean, there are sophisticated criminal organizations overseas that all they do is they target people here in the United States. You've probably got that text message, right, from somebody that says, hey, are we still on for dinner tomorrow night? and you're like, who is that? Well, guess what? That's an overseas scammer trying to get a hold of you, trying to engage with you. And guess what? The fraudulent pitch is coming shortly thereafter.
Andrew, I only have a couple minutes before I have to go to break, but this is not really a legal question, but you've been around the block with this, with people and family dynamics. Let's say you've got an elderly parent or neighbor who might have some assets, real serious assets, but is not really savvy about the internet, not really savvy about fraud. How do you address this from a personal standpoint? How do you protect people who you want to help and to make sure that they're not falling for something? How would you tell, say, your parent to be careful?
That might be the toughest issue there is in terms of investment scams. And guess what? The primary individuals who rob and steal from so many of these elderly people are family members. And there's always an excuse. It's always, gee, you know, I was mom's favorite. I was dad's favorite. I've been taking care of mom for the last 5 years, you know, when she's been in failing health. And the number of excuses that family members make for taking advantage of another family member is absolutely extraordinary. Now, obviously, if it's really bad, there are things you can do, like move for a financial guardianship. But a lot of times it's a matter of the family coming together and having multiple eyes on the finances. You never want just one person with their hand in the cookie jar. You want everybody watching everybody else, because the results can be absolutely cataclysmic.
I get calls. I think, I don't know that a week goes by where I don't get a call about something like that, where the one cousin was, you know, taking care of mom, and then now all of a sudden the money's gone, and now the cousin's gone and the money's gone. So, you know,
That's it. It's devastating.
We have to really be vigilant with our older people. How prevalent is investment fraud? I mean, just give us, you know, a sort of a spectrum on, like, how much is this costing people a year?
Well, the FTC estimates it's about a $10 billion problem annually, and those are really just the ones that are reported. So many people who get taken are embarrassed. I can't tell you how many conversations I've had with burned investors, male and female, who will tell me, whatever you do, don't tell my spouse that I lost this money. So it's estimated that this stuff is really, really underreported, but it's really, really prevalent, and the problem is just getting worse and worse and worse.
Now, so we touched upon this a little bit, but, you know, and we have this problem with lawyers, too. I mean, lawyers are licensed and all of that, but there are bad lawyers out there. I don't think there are a lot, but there are. And what are the things you tell people to do before investing? How do you really vet an investor? What are some ways to just really make sure this person is going to give you the best advice and not be churning things, making money on fees and doing things, or worse, taking your money and running off to, somewhere you can't get to?
Well, you know, and that's why Bernie Madoff was so important, because Bernie Madoff kind of opened the eyes to so many people out there that even more reputable financial advisors can steal money, can do some really nefarious things. So I kind of tell people you have to do your upfront due diligence on the financial advisor. And Google is obviously the perfect tool. If you Google him and you find complaints, if you find bankruptcies, if you find some really, really bad reviews, obviously a red flag. Contact the Illinois Securities Department, get his or her background to find out what they're about. But really, it's incumbent on the individuals to understand the basics, right? To realize if it does sound too good to be true, it is too good to be true. If the individual is engaging in high pressure sales fraud, you know, that's not a professional. It very well could be a scammer. And when you go to the doctor, the last thing you want is your doctor pressuring you to get a surgery, let's say. So you got to, once again, put your common sense hat on. And it's the old, just if something doesn't feel right, it probably isn't right. And learn the basics too. I mean, if someone's calling you saying, gee, we're going to get you a 20% investment return, well, that's BS, right? You kind of need to understand that, look, the historical rate of return of the market is about 8 to 10%. And so people kind of have to educate themselves. They have to understand this stuff. They have to just preach the word diversification. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. So people just have to be really careful, because there are those people out there that will absolutely take advantage of you.
So what can, once a person invests and they think that they have a good, reputable person, what can they do ongoing to make sure that this person doesn't have a time where now you're not looking and now I'm going to start doing something? So what are the things that are the red flags that should be noticed?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the biggest thing people can do is open up their monthly or their quarterly statements. So many of the people that I represent, they delegate completely, right, to their financial advisor. And, you know, remember Ronald Reagan and his old trust but verify? That's what people kind of need to do. So you kind of need to go in with your fist up, assuming somebody is going to try to take advantage of you. So open those statements. Now, obviously, there's online access to your portfolio. Check the balances. If your financial advisor or broker or banker is saying, gee, this is a risk-free investment, and you're down 10, 15, 20%, that's a pretty good indication that this individual is taking advantage of you and was probably lying. So people just need to really make certain they're on top of their investments, they're tracking this stuff, and if something doesn't look right, get a second opinion and stop it before it gets too bad.
Without getting too legal here, I hear a lot of people who call me and say, you know, the investment advisor said this was guaranteed. They said they were going to get me XYZ. They said this was the way it was going to work. But when you look at the paperwork, none of that's in there. And the person says to me, well, we can still enforce it, right? Tell our listeners, you know, how the law works when it comes to this kind of thing.
Right. And Karen, I hear that a lot, where people will say, well, the broker guaranteed or promised, but it's not in writing, right? I personally like having those communications via email or even text. And if somebody won't put into a text or into an email what it is that they're telling you over the phone or in person, well, that should be a massive red flag. And so people need to, you know, realize that, look, they might be taken advantage of, and it becomes a problem when you're in court or you're in an arbitration hearing and the investor says, the broker promised me I wouldn't lose money, but then there's some disclosures in writing that says you can absolutely lose all your money. So get it in email, get it in a text, and then save that, because if the worst does happen, the best record you have is a paper record.
I have a texter who says, and I think you answered this a little bit earlier from the 708 error code, said, ask your guest if using a financial advisor employed by a large financial company like Vanguard or Fidelity is safe.
Boy, I'm a massive fan of Vanguard. I've had some money there for many, many years. I'm a big fan of Fidelity. I'm a big fan of Charles Schwab, kind of those huge custodians that have $1 trillion plus on their platform. They're not going away. They're certainly not perfect, meaning they do have some bad apples there. But I've sued those firms before, and when something does go wrong, they tend to belly up to the bar and make the investor whole. That feels so much better to me in terms of somebody dealing with a Fidelity or a Schwab rather than some guy or gal who's calling from his mom's basement or is a one or two man or woman shop. Those are the situations where you tend to get in trouble, because if something does go wrong, there's really nobody to kind of sue and to make you whole.
And people disappear. I've seen that too. You know, they disappear into thin air, or they go bankrupt, or you thought they had an office here, but they really didn't. And you really are caught with the bag, standing there with an empty bag. Let's switch a little bit, Andrew, to talk about lottery scammers. I know that you have represented numerous lottery winners, and just tell us a little bit about some of the fraud and some of the things that arise due to the lottery.
Boy, when somebody hears the term lottery loser, they usually chuckle at first, because they assume if you win the lottery, you are set. But I've represented, I'd say, somewhere around 12 or 13 lottery winners who end up being lottery losers in the last 25 years. And, you know, there's a certain socioeconomic background individuals who have played the lottery over the years. And is that a generalization? Absolutely. But a lot of the winners are people who don't have that infrastructure in place to manage that money. And we see the same thing with professional athletes, NBA players, NFL players. I kind of call it sudden wealth syndrome, where these people get a massive sum of money and they don't know how to manage it. And they tend to be susceptible to fraud and to fraudulent pitches. And so it's kind of the same advice for people who are retiring right now. You know, it's, you know, get the team of professionals in place. Watch out for family members, because I cannot tell you how many lottery winners have had massive, massive sums of money from family members. And those are the toughest ones to say no to, because they'll say, look, I changed your diaper, right? I helped you out when you were a kid. I paid for your high school or for your college. And those are tough pitches to say no to. So it's a problem when you give anyone, lottery winner, professional football player, a retiree with a rollover, a big sum of money, and expect them to manage it properly the first time around.
Absolutely. And when you see these things happen, I mean, what do you do for them? You go after the individuals who took the money and you try to get the money? And I mean, do you ever get the authorities involved to try to prosecute, or is that not a good strategy?
Oh, it's a great strategy. And so we'll do everything. We will sue the banks. We will sue the brokerage firms. We will sue the family members. We will get the authorities involved, especially for elder people. Here in Illinois, there's a great elder abuse statute that can award treble damages if the person is taken advantage of. And a lot of these lottery winners are older people over the age of 60 or 65. So, you know, there's a lot we can do to try to make them whole. But of course, the best advice is don't fall in that trap, right? Get multiple sets of eyes on everything. Have your lawyer, have your CPA, have one or two financial professionals, and make certain everybody is checking everybody else's work. Because once that money is gone, I tell people, you don't want to get me involved, because at that point, we're going to do the best we can. But you know, measure twice, cut once. You know, make certain on the front end you're doing it right. You're diversifying, you're asset allocating, you're at a big firm, so you don't lose that money, because the results are cataclysmic.
And one thing I will say when it comes to anything like this is that the people who are manipulative are very good at making you feel like that you should trust them. These are people who live by their ability to charm and manipulate you into doing things. And so when I hear people say, but I really liked him and he really seemed like a good guy, that's not a reason to throw money at somebody. Andrew, thank you so much for joining us. Can you give our listeners your contact information?
Sure. Andrew Stoltman, Stoltman Law. Just Google me or my law firm, and we'll pop right up. And yeah, we'd love to help you out. It's the problem is serious. It's getting worse, and you know, be careful out there.